right, we're starting a new series on heaven. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14. Famous John chapter 14. And I am going to teach you something tonight. I want you to have your pens out if you want to write in your Bible. If you want to take some notes, you may. I don't often say that, but this one might be a blessing to you. Now, I'm going to apologize before I start. This is extremely simple in how it's put together, but it's extremely profound in truth. It may not seem as profound as it really is to you, but if you get the logic of this, if you get the biblical logic to all this and the biblical illustration of all this, this will help you for the rest of your life. I promise you. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I realize that death and life after this body dies is a little bit troubling to most people. We humans have a way of messing this life up, but we're comfortable with it because at least we can see it. What happens after we die, we can't see, and we have a hard time thinking about. You ask the average person what's going to happen when they die. You watch them fumble around. Watch them stumble, stammer. I don't know. I'm just going to go in the grave and sit there and sleep forever. Just going to turn into nothing. They really get uncomfortable talking. You know, it's amazing. You can talk about just about any topic. But you start talking about somebody's eternity, and they get testy. My wife ran into somebody one time. She said, well, this person told my wife, well, that's a very personal question. She said, yes, it is. Where are you going to go? And the lady almost started to fight with my wife. I had to get between them, had to send my wife and the other soul winner off. I mean, it was ugly. This lady was livid. She said, I'm Catholic. That's good enough. I said, well, that's your problem. No wonder you got such a bad attitude. Then she and I just about got into it. Now, I wasn't trying to be unkind, nor was somebody else, but she got very offended that somebody would ask her what was going to happen when she died. Now, yeah, she didn't know the answer. That is for sure. You don't need to be afraid of death if you're saved. Did you know you don't have to be afraid of dying? Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not afraid of death. I'm just afraid of the process. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of seeing others go from this life to the next. The problem is most of us don't realize how real heaven is. I call this heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. I want you to notice something in John chapter 14 here. God says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you. Watch this. I go to prepare a, what's the next word? Place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then he starts talking and says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. He said, look, there's not only a place, but there is a way to get from where you are to that place. There's a direct route. There is a route you must take to get from point A to point B. It is as real as going from here to Hagerstown. It's as real as the vacation you had planned and went from point A to point B along the way. Now, I want you to not only believe it, but I want you to know that heaven's a real place. I don't want you just to say, well, I know heaven's real. God said it so. It's more real than that. Now, if God just said it, that's good enough. But heaven is not this ethereal dream place, sitting in the clouds with everybody with big giant white wings on, long blonde hair, with magic wands sprinkling spoofoo dust everywhere. If you think of the average, Google the word heaven. Virtually every picture deals with clouds. Every one of them. Like a bunch of angels sitting on the cloud, or everybody standing in clouds, or you got cloud stairs. I don't know about you, but I'm not walking on cloud stairs. All right? If I got to walk all the way there, it's not going to be heaven. Heaven is not a bunch of stairs made out of clouds going up into the sky and you can't see where it's at. Now, heaven is as real as earth is. Do you know that God didn't make the imaginary? Everything he made was real. Now, here in John 14, it says there's a place. The word place is a very interesting word. It is the word. It is a word that means a location or space for something specific. Let me show you what I mean. How many of you men, maybe even some of you ladies, you've got a special knife or something and it's got a sheath that's on it. I got a hunting knife like that. All right. That sheath is where that knife goes. That is a place for the knife. The one accompanies the other. And that is exactly what the word place means. It means there is a specified purpose for that thing. It's like your dresser at home. That's where you keep your clothing or your tools or your junk or whatever you put in your dresser. But you might take things out, but it always goes back to it. That's where you keep those things. It's a specified place. Everybody understand that? It's also the word reservation. If you're going to go to vacation, I'm not one of these people that just drives and when I get tired, I pull off and try to find a hotel. I tried that a few times and I end up driving a whole lot farther than I want to go because I can't ever find one or I'm not willing to pay the price. And I found out I can do better if I just plan it. So often I'll leave here if I've got to go to Lexington. We'll drive from here, drive clear over to Clarksburg after church one service. We get there about midnight, get a room, and then go from there. It's about another 4 hours from there to Lexington, get up the next morning and go. I always make a reservation. When I get there, I tell them who I am. They say, oh, we have a room reserved. We have a place for you. That is exactly what that word means in John chapter 14. Did you know that that word place in the Greek is not used any other reference except for heaven? That certain word. It is that special of a word. Now, I say that to say this. Jesus says here in John 14 that he's trying to settle the disciples about death. He's just told them about him dying and needing to leave, and that they're going to die someday. And he said, fellas, don't let your heart be troubled. You don't have to worry about it. Let me tell you why you don't have to worry about it, because if you're saved, then you have a place reserved in heaven for you. When you get there, it's real. Just like when you put your sword in your scabbard or your knife in your sheath or you make a reservation at a hotel, I never worry about the hotel selling my room. If I leave on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night after church, I always call them and say, look, I'm going to have a late check-in. I'm going to be there about midnight. Last time we did it, I got there. It was 11:58. The lady looked down. She said, I talked to you. You said midnight. You're 2 minutes early. And we got to joking about it. I said, I'm sorry, you want me to go back out? She said, no, that's okay. I can fudge 2 minutes. But we were just toying with it a little bit. But I always let them know I'm going to be late. That way I don't give up my room. And I think it's the appropriate thing to do. It's a kind thing to do. And it guarantees when I stop, I got a place to put my head for a little while. But that reservation is there. Because if Ellen Moore worked there, she'd tell it to somebody else. All right? Now, Jesus was talking about his soon death. he was also teaching them about heaven. And he said, fellas, it's a real place. It is a real place. It's a place that, that word place means occupying space. This pulpit has a space for it. It has a place. It's right here. We don't piddle around with the pulpit. We don't move it around a lot. You say, why? Because this is the place for the pulpit. It's a tangible, it's a specified spot for it. And that is exactly what heaven is. It is a place. It takes up space. It occupies, room. I hate to tell you this, but the outer space doesn't occupy space. It's just there. The earth has a place, and it's in place. And we are on the earth, in our place on the earth. We're occupying space, and that's what this word's about. Now, I'm going to give you, I think, eight or nine proofs that heaven is a real place. And I'm going to show you something here, all right? Heaven has location. Heaven has location. I'm not going to take you to all the scriptures, but let me give you some general references. You go to the 1 Kings, talks about Elijah, 1 or 2 Kings. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind to heaven. Notice the direction, up. He was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. Stephen in Acts, as he was being stoned to death, looked up into heaven, saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father as he died. Jesus, Acts chapter 1, he ascended up into heaven on a cloud after the death, the burial, the resurrection, came back to earth for 40 days, and he ascended back to heaven in Acts chapter 1. And the angel says, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. But which direction did he go? He went up. Paul was caught up into the third heaven, according to the book of Acts. He was caught up into the third heaven. Notice, it's up. And Enoch. Enoch walked with God, book of Genesis, I think it's chapter 35, but don't quote me on what chapter it is. But I know it's in the book of Genesis. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He said, Enoch, come up with me this day. Hello. Heaven is up. Now, take your Bible. Let me say this. Not only do people go up to heaven, there are things that came down from heaven. All right? Look at Isaiah chapter 14 real quick. I'm going to show you something. Isaiah chapter 14. You've seen this before. If you've been in church very much at all, I've quoted it. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Notice, fallen. When you fall, do you go up or down? Which didst weaken the nations. For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Wow. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? In other words, God casts Lucifer out of heaven down to the earth. Notice, down. All right? Moses and Elijah came down in the book of Matthew on the Mount of Transfiguration and met with Jesus and Peter and John. And they came down from heaven at that transfiguration, and Peter and John saw Moses and Elijah. They came down. Take your Bible. This one ought to make you shout, if you got any shout in you. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend. Oh, wait a minute. Descend. What does that mean? Come down. From where? That means heaven's up. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, what? Caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. At the rapture, Jesus comes down, we go up, and then we all go back together. Where are we going? Up. Praise the Lord. That encourages me. Heaven has location. Look at Psalm 75. Psalm 75. Say, what does up mean? I'll show you from God's words, not my words. Psalm 75. Look at verse number 6. For promotion. Look at me. That word promotion literally means death. Going to the afterlife. Just like you're promoted from junior high to high school. From first grade to second grade. From 10th grade to 11th grade. Whatever it is. You're moving from one level to another. And death, for the saved, is promotion. Now watch this. For the promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So if it doesn't come from the east, it doesn't come from the west, and it doesn't come from the south, where does promotion come from? That means heaven's up. It's north. Scientists will tell you that in the northern part of space, there's a void. They can't see past it. But every once in a while, they get a glimpse of a flashing light from that void. They can't tell you what it is. I can. Every once in a while, they're looking when one of the saints goes home, and they get to see the door of heaven open and the light shining. Heaven's just as real as earth is. Heaven is just as much a planet, if you would like to say, as earth is. It's consistent with God's creation and God's universe. Heaven is not, by the way, you won't find another planet that has clouds like ours does. There's none out there. There's not enough water vapor in space. Heaven is just as real. And by the way, and we'll get into this in another study, I don't think heaven is just sitting there in a cube in this vacuum. Heaven is as much a planet as earth is. Now, it doesn't function necessarily like Earth does, because we don't have to revolve around the sun. The sun will be in the midst of heaven. The S-O-N. Everybody doing all right? So, heaven is north, and when you go up, you're usually referred to as going north. That means God's from the north, not the south. Amen? Just so you know. So, heaven has location. That's it. Compared to heaven, we're all in trouble. All right? Heaven has size. There is a size to heaven. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to be here a little while. I'm going to show you a few things. Some of this I'm going to mention now. I'll mention just in passing. It won't make as much sense to you now, but keep coming, and it will. Man, I'm dying of heat. I'm about to croak. Ribbit. Heaven has a size. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 16. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. Wow. Now this is talking about the New Jerusalem. That's part of heaven, okay? Please don't ask a whole lot of questions about that. I'll teach on the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven, and the New Earth all in another lesson, all right? But the New Jerusalem measures 12,000 furlongs, length, breadth, and height, all right? That means this way, and this way, it's 12,000 furlongs. A furlong is an eighth of a mile. That means this. The New Jerusalem measures 1,500 miles cubed. 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way. I personally believe that it's a circle. Just now, I know it says four square, but to get the same dimensions all the way around, just like Earth is just under 24,000 miles in any direction you go. You could say it's 24,000 miles length, breadth, and height. And that's consistent with creation. God didn't make any square planets. Everybody doing okay? Now, I wouldn't fight you over that. That's my opinion right there. But I want to throw it out there because I think it's worthwhile. But notice, they measured the city. Can you measure something that's not there? Can you measure something in furlongs that's not there? No. So it has an actual size. All right? There is a city, the New Jerusalem, that is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And God says it's measurable. I want you also to notice heaven has a wall around the New Jerusalem. Look at verse number 17 there. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Wow. Now, we could read on, and the building of the wall of it was as jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, this wall that goes around the New Jerusalem is 144 cubits high. 144 cubits is 216 feet. So it has a wall that is 216 feet high that goes all the way around the city of the New Jerusalem. And that wall, 216 feet high. That is amazing. I don't know about you, but that's a whopping big wall. They talk about the Great Wall of China. That's just a pile of sand compared to this one. 216 feet high. That's as high as a 22-story building. How high is Martinsburg Hospital? Seven floors. Put three hospitals on top of each other, and that's as high as that wall will be. That's a whopping big wall. It's made out of jasper. Now, it also has gates in the wall. By the way, there's a foundation in that wall. If you go back up to verse 14, it says, "In the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." So on each of the 12 foundations of that big wall is the name of one of the apostles, Peter and Andrew and James and John. The only one that won't be there is Judas Iscariot. I personally believe the Apostle Paul will be on the 12th one. Yes. That's my opinion. Now, I realize they chose two other disciples before Paul was chosen, but Paul is the one that Jesus chose and God chose.
Right.
And if you read the conversion of Paul, you'll understand what I mean. That's where I get it. That's not a doctrine I would fight you over. I wouldn't leave a church over somebody that says they believe it's one of the other two men, Matthias or whatever the one guy's name was. And I'm not going to sit here and debate. I personally believe it's the Apostle Paul. But does it really matter? We just know the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are on those foundations. Everybody doing okay? Number four, that wall has gates. Look at verse number 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit in the great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light like unto a stone, most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." And if you jump all the way down to verse number 21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." There are 12 gates, 3 on each of the 4 sides of this wall, and in it are the 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben, Gad, Manasseh, all the 12 tribes, Levi. But each one of these gates is a pearl. Do I think that these gates are 216 feet high. I have absolutely no idea. The Bible doesn't say. It just says that each gate is one pearl. That's one big pearl. I'd hate to see the oyster that hatched that puppy. That's you think about it. That's a massive amount of pearl there. Now, number five, heaven is a place that has flesh and bone. So let me review. Heaven has location. Heaven has a size and can be measured. Heaven has a wall around it. Heaven has gates. And number five, heaven is a place that has flesh and bone in it. You might not like all of these illustrations, but hang on. When Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and on the resurrection morning, that Sunday morning, do you remember Mary saw him and thought that he was the gardener? And he said, "Mary." And in his tone of voice, she recognized and she said, "Rabboni," and she went to hug him. And he said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Remember that? Well, he had stopped at earth to let everybody know, to tell her, specifically to tell everybody, he resurrected. And he said, "Don't touch me, I'll be back. You go tell everybody, I'm going up." Say, why was he going up? He had to put the blood on the mercy seat. It wasn't just the shed blood. It was the applied blood that gets us saved. He had to put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven. That means he still had flesh, he still had bone, and he still had blood. He went to heaven and came back. And they all touched him. Matter of fact, Peter missed that Sunday night church service and didn't see him till about 8 days later. And he said, "Thomas, put your finger inside the holes in my hand. Stick your hand all the way in my side if you want to." That's the same body that had been in heaven 8 days before. Jesus' body had been there and came to earth. So there is flesh and bone in heaven and blood. According to the Bible, you might not like this either, but take your Bible, Revelation chapter 19. You were in Revelation chapter 21, so it's just back a little bit. I love this. Look at verse number 14. Bless you. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white," what's the next one? "Clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Wow. Did you know there are horses in heaven? Amen, Hannah. Did you know that there are enough horses for every saint in heaven? Because when we come back at the millennium, we're all riding on white horses. Amen. Some of you that don't like horses, you better start liking them. You're going to ride one. And you're not going to just ride one. You're going to be flying on one. You're going to go from heaven to earth and watch Jesus kick the snot out of the devil and the armies of this world. Right. The towel heads are going to get theirs, and we're going to sit on a horseback watching it happen. Now, that means this. We will be able to ride horses while we're in heaven. Can I tell you something? Horses have flesh, blood, and bone. They're not made out of clouds. I hate to tell you something, but guess what? That means there has to have the ability of having flesh and bone there. You can't put flesh and bone nowhere. It's got to have a place. There are two people in the Old Testament that did not die. Elijah and a man named Enoch. Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha, his assistant pastor, was with him. A tornado came, split them up, a chariot came, split them up, and a tornado came down and took Elijah to heaven, 2 Kings. He is still there in his earthly body. He did not die. Enoch walked with God, according to the book of Genesis, so closely that one day God said, "Enoch, you and I are so close, why don't you come to my house today? You're closer to mine than yours." And he was not, for God took him up to heaven. Now, wait a minute.
we have a problem then. Because according to the Bible, it says in Hebrews, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. They will die. Because during the tribulation, at the middle of the tribulation, you have two preachers that come back. Their names are Elijah and Enoch, and they'll preach, and the Jews will get saved, and they will be killed in the streets. And they'll lay dead for 3 days, and the TV networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, will record them laying in the streets for 3 days. But on that fourth morning, as Brother Roloff would have said, Brother Elijah is going to roll over and say, Brother Enoch, I think I can hit tenor. Can you hit bass? And they're going to stand up, and God's going to take them to heaven, and they're going to have their own personal rapture. And God will, and the whole world would be focused on them with the TV cameras as they rise from the dead. Their bodies are literally going to get up and rise from the dead and go to heaven on television. Read the book of Revelation. It's a lot of fun. Can you imagine what the news crews are going to say about that one? How's Hillary going to spin that one? Yeah. She'll email it. Yeah. She'll lose it. And she can't lose it either. But anyway, so Enoch and Elijah are there in their body presently. I hate to tell you something, but they're not going to live in space. It's not like Lost in Space. You know, danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson. They're not going to have jetpacks on and oxygen tanks. They've been there for thousands of years. You say, how's that possible? Because my Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. If they've been there, let's say 5,000 years, and it hasn't been that long, that's only like 5 days human life. Their bodies haven't aged. Am I doing okay? A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Now, I'm having too much fun. Number six, I got to hurry because I'm really trying to get you out on time. I really, really, really am. Heaven has bodies that can be seen. Heaven has bodies that can be seen. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. There are people there that have been seen physically by people. Look at Luke chapter 16. Look at verse number 23. This is about the rich man and Lazarus. And in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Guess what? The man in hell saw people in heaven. Is that not what it said? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He was talking to Abraham, asking for Lazarus to bring a little bit of water to cool his tongue. He actually saw somebody that was there. Take Revelation, turn to Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. That's not the verse I was looking for, I don't think. But yeah, it is. Look at verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. People were seeing people in heaven who had been martyred for the word of God. Now, at Transfiguration again, Peter and John saw Moses and Elijah. They saw their bodies. As a pastor, I spend a lot of time with people on their deathbed. Do you know I've been with people that say, can you see them? Can you see them? Can I see who? Well, I see this person. No, I can't see him, but I believe you can. You say, why? Because God is lifting that veil and they're vacillating between this world and the next. It's not a hallucination. They are actually looking and peering into heaven. I've been with people and they were talking to their spouse that had already gone before them as they took their last breaths here.
You watch a big old smile come on their face and say, it's so good to see you, and they're gone. It's a miracle. But I've seen it over and over and over again. I've been with people and they say, preacher, can't you see them? No, what do they look like? Brother Hiles used to tell the story when his mama was dying. She was in her 90s, I believe. And he had two sisters that died when they were seven. Both were 7 years old when they passed away. And his mama was dying. And she'd said, Jack, there's your sister. Can't you see her? He said, no, mama, but I believe you can. Well, you say hello to her. Hi. Never met him before in his life, you know. Didn't you see this one? No. Well, you better introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Jack. She knew, he knew she could see him. He couldn't. She was picking out people that she knew that was already there. She could see their faces. She could see into heaven. I met a man one time who died, went to heaven, and the doctors revived him. Yeah, he was mad. The nurse that helped on him worked in his church. I was preaching in their church. And he said, the pastor said, let me introduce you to somebody that's been to heaven. Boy, he began to talk. And there's just a little difference in how they talk about heaven. He said, yeah, and I don't want to talk to that woman over there. He was almost bitter. I said, what's the matter? He said, she was one of the nurses, brought me back. She'd just let me go, I'd still be there. I was like, man, that's harsh. And he looked at me and said, you think I'm cruel, don't you? I said, a little. He said, it's that wonderful. If you ever got a taste of it, you'd never want to come back to this place. He said, I'm not bitter with her. I just wish she would have let me alone because I wanted to be in heaven. I was like, man. I've met one person in my life that had been like that. Now, all these things you see on TV, it's a miracle. And we saw people and we brought them back. And garbage, it's Hollywood. All right? But I have talked with people, I've been with people that have actually peered into heaven as they were dying or died and have come back on one occasion. All right? So there's bodies there that can be seen. By the way, I'll teach on this one night. You'll be known there as you're known here. People will recognize you. Notice that they called Father Abraham, Lazarus, Moses, Elijah. And all these people they called by name. We're not all going to look the same. Praise the Lord. Amen. I do not want to look like Evan Burns. Nor Jimbo. But I thank God we'll be known there as we are known here. All right? And I've got to hurry. Don't worry, Joe. You won't make it. Number seven. It's a place where we'll eat food. Amen. Glory to God. After the rapture, there's a period of time there. It's called the marriage feast or supper of the Lamb. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't supper without food. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There are trees there with fruit on them. What good is a tree with fruit if you can't eat it? Heaven's a place where we'll eat. By the way, with all those horses, I hate to tell you something, they got to eat too. There's got to be plenty of food for the animals that are there to eat. You're not going to have millions and millions of horses. Now, I'm not sure who's going to be in charge of cleaning stalls, but I hope it's not me. And I've heard all kinds of people say, well, there won't be any of that there. I don't know. I've not been there to tell you. I can't tell you. Say, what's your opinion? Wait till you get there and ask God. I don't know. Now, we'll talk about some of the beauty of heaven later, but I just want you to realize heaven's going to be a place where we can eat and no calories. Glory to God. No diets. Amen. There will be no Jenny Craig. There'll be none of that mess there. Praise the Lord. Now, number eight, and I'll finish with this. Heaven is a place that has things. I know that sounds funny, but heaven is a place that has things. It'll be a place better than any World History Museum on the face of the earth and all of them combined. There are certain places I've been to see historical things. I like some of the things down at the National Malls. I love the history museums and the World War museums and the Air and Space museums. And as you go through history, can you imagine what the museum and history of heaven is going to be like? All of world history, the important artifacts are in heaven. It's a place that has mansions. He didn't say shacks. You know, just give me a little cat log cabin in heaven someday. Nope, I'm getting a mansion. You can have a little old cabin and an outhouse for all I care. But I want indoor plumbing and a mansion. It's a place of mansions. All those horses probably have stalls or places for them. There's going to be buildings there. Did you know that chariots will be there? It talks about there being chariots in heaven. Heaven has streets. What do you need a street for? Traffic. Whether it be pedestrian or horse or whatever we travel with. It'll have a river. You say, why? Fishing. It'll have gold, precious stones. It has trees. It has leaves. It has fruit. It has a throne. It has seats. It has clothing. It has crowns. It has lamps. It has the tabernacle. And it has the tabernacle there that has the Holy of Holies. It has the mercy seat and the blood of Jesus Christ on it.
I won't separate with anybody over this, and if you disagree with me, I am good with it. But I believe that the Ark of the Covenant that was in Israel all those years that contained Moses's the tables of stone written with the finger of God, the golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the mercy seat on it, on top of that, I personally believe we can't find it because it's in heaven. God showed Moses the real one that was in heaven. I think God just took it to heaven and said, I'm going to put this one in storage for when everybody gets here, they can see what was and what really is. Show them what man built, show them what I got. I think they're going to be kind of close in proximity. But there's only going to be one that's got blood on it. And that's the one I want to see. Amen. I don't care about the one in the Old Testament. I do care about the one in heaven. And it talks about the true tabernacle in heaven, book of Hebrews. So there is a real place there. There are real things there, and there are books there. There are bottles there. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse number 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, the devil is trying his best to destroy our opinion about heaven. We think of heaven as a bunch of people with long wings and white robes and long blonde hair, sitting on clouds or standing in the clouds just saying, holy, 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 and everybody standing there like this for eternity. That's not heaven. It says that the streets and the city will be of pure gold as transparent glass. Did you know that purest gold is able to be seen through transparently? Did you know the United States geospatial industry uses gold? When our astronauts go to space, do you ever notice their helmets, the shield on it, has a gold plate on the front? That is pure gold, as pure as we can make it. They overlay the glass with gold because there's no restriction of the gamma and sun rays in space. And nothing we have can reflect those like gold can. But they're able to see all the way through it. They can look directly at the sun with those gold shields on, and it does not bother their eyes, but it's transparent as glass. Even man has the technology to do that.
Did you know God's going to pave the streets with what we kill each other for down here? God says gold's going to be like tar. If God's paving the streets with gold, that's the place I want to go to. How about you? I want you to realize something. Heaven is just as real as earth is. It's a place. Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know, and how to get there, you know, that means there's a way to get there. And he said, it won't be long, you'll be there. It's a real place. There's real bodies there. There's real people there. There's real animals there, horses. There are all kinds of things. It's able to be measured. It's got walls. It's got foundations. It's got gates. It's got names written. The Bible says it even has stones. Matter of fact, every one of us will get a new name when we get to heaven. God will give you your new name, and he'll write it on a stone and give it to you. We'll talk about that one day. Say, what is that nickname, what he calls you? Mine's going to say stupid. that's what he calls me, I think. Now, wait a minute. I don't know what your pet name for God, from God is. I don't know what mine is, but one day we will know. He'll write it on a stone and give it to us. Can I tell you something? Heaven's a real place. Don't worry about it. Got loved ones there? They're in a real place. People that you know, that you love, it's a real place.